This is a Party Town Streaming Network special report on the current California energy scam. While the current energy crisis looms on for Californians, many still question the real reason behind the hype. Most all of the media reports focus on the superficial aspects of the serious issue. Only alternative news sources are digging deeper to reveal the true story. Let's start with the actual people behind the smokescreen. The top executives. The chief executive officer and chairman of the board of Pacific Gas and Electric Company, a subsidiary of PG&E Corporation, and a senior vice president of PG&E Corporation is Gordon R. Smith, a career PG&E executive since graduating from college. He also serves as an advisory board member of Dreyfus Edison Electric Index Fund Industry, which owns shares in both PG&E and Southern California Edison, both claiming financial trouble. He is also on the finance committee of the Edison Electric Institute. It seems as though maybe Smith may not be performing up to par in his positions with the energy powerhouses. We can pretty much assume his neighborhood has not experienced any rolling blackouts. Another executive whose neighborhood most likely won't ever experience rolling blackouts is Chief Executive Officer and President of PG&E Corporation, Robert D. Glenn, Jr. In his presentation at the annual shareholders meeting April 19, 2000, held in Boston, Massachusetts, he reaffirmed PG&E's financial strength when, just days before, PG&E agreed to spend millions on a new telecommunications company. According to an article in The Standard on April 13th of 2000, 12 petroleum and natural gas companies, including PG&E, announced Wednesday they would buy a combined 30% stake in a new telecommunications company, Airy Networks. The new company plans to build fiber optic networks with the highest capacity in the United States. Along with the $150 million equity stake, Airy gets the right to piggyback its fiber on the energy firm's pipelines. This is a $3.5 billion project, and instead of making Airy pay for the right-of-way to lay fiber piggybacked on the pipelines, PG&E is paying millions to buy into the telecommunications company. Back to the 1999 shareholders meeting. Glenn reported to stockholders that earnings from operations increased by 15% in 1999, on top of 12% growth in 1998. Total net income from operations grew by 11%. The National Energy Group, the parent company to PG&E, increased its earnings from operations by 42% in 1999, following a strong year in 1998. And Pacific Gas and Electric Company increased its earnings from operations by 14%. The question one might ask next is, how can they be financially unstable if they were seeing so much growth? The answer may lie in their increased spending habits in early 2000. Glenn goes on to praise the company's future endeavors, talking about some of the projects underway with the National Energy Group. In Massachusetts, construction continued on the Millennium Power Project, a 360-megawatt natural gas-fueled plant. In Connecticut, they broke ground on the Lake Road Generating Plant, a 792-megawatt natural gas fuel plant, scheduled for operation in 2001. In New York, they broke ground for the Madison Wind Power Project, which will be the largest wind-generating facility in the eastern United States, and will be identified with the registered trademark of Pure Wind. There was only one mention of growth in the California market, a 1,000-megawatt natural gas fuel generating plant in Kern County, scheduled for operation in 2001. Glenn also announced the corporation was joining with 11 other energy companies to build what will be the country's largest fiber optic telecommunications network. He also mentioned that Pacific Gas and Electric Company and the National Energy Group have joined a consortium of 15 energy companies to establish a new internet-based business-to-business platform for buyers and sellers of goods and services. The future of the year 2000 and beyond is also painted very brightly. Glenn committed to delivering 8 to 10% annual earnings per share growth and planned to generate 30% or more of these earnings from the National Energy Group by 2002. Now, all of this doesn't sound like it's coming from a company that is facing the possibility of bankruptcy, does it? These men need to face the music, sell off some of their $30 billion in assets, and provide the public with reasonable and reliable energy service. The public needs to take these men and other members of the board to task and put faces and names to this dire situation. Gordon Smith and Robert Glenn need to be held accountable for the mess they have gotten California into. They should be prosecuted for extorting increased rates from the public under false pretenses. There isn't a shortage of energy in California. There is a shortage of solvent reliable energy companies due to improper financial planning and spending. Put the blame where it's most deserved, in the laps of the men who are directly affecting the situation. It's not difficult to read between the lines. It appears that the energy companies overspent on outside investments last year and are using rate hikes and a false energy crisis in hopes that the public bail them out. When you pay your top executive over $2 million a year, you would expect better management of the fiscal interests of the company, wouldn't you? According to an article by Public Citizen, California power demands during 4 out of the past 6 months was actually lower than during the same period in 1999. That indicates that California's power producers are misrepresenting the facts about energy demands in order to justify gouging the state's utilities. Data from the California Independent System Operator shows that July, August, October, and December of 2000, the state saw a lower peak demand than during those same months in 1999. Since there hasn't been an increase in energy demand, the major contributor to the crisis, according to Public Citizen, is that plants servicing California with 11,000 megawatts of capacity have been taken out of service for a variety of reasons, most undisclosed. This creates a false crisis in which power producers can convince customers to pay higher rates to encourage construction of new power plants to meet the alleged higher demand. Power producers will then justify building new plants, attempting to speed up the process by suspending California's environment-friendly standards and blocking the ability of communities to oppose new plants. The bottom line is, Californians are going to be footing the bill for poor planning and misrepresentation of a crisis that is non-existent. I'm the token white chick reporting for Party Town Streaming Network.